SBS Radio.
Whatamoorlie, this is NITV Radio and I'm Kerry Lee Harding. Did you know that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are actually 6 times more likely to go blind and 12 times more likely to have cataracts than non-Indigenous people? There's an organisation called IRIS, the Indigenous and Remote Eye Health Service, and I took some time out a short time ago to catch up with Dr. Bill Glasson, co-chair of IRIS, to talk about their work and their work into the future. Let's talk about IRIS, which is the Indigenous and Remote Eye Health Service. Can you tell us about some of the good work you do across the nation in our Indigenous communities?
Yes, certainly, Kerry Lee. Look, IRIS has been operating since 2010, and it was an entity was set up specifically to address the needs of remote Australians and obviously particularly Indigenous Australians, because we felt the need out there was considerable and the unmet need over the previous decade, and more hadn't been sort of caught up. And so we seek some funding from the Commonwealth and establish this organisation called IRIS, the Indigenous and Remote Eye Service. And we have been really out there delivering service to people on the ground. I think the important message I want to say is that if you can deliver service to people where they live, it's certainly much more appropriate in terms of meeting the community's needs. It saves people having to travel. And also, people have to travel a long way to a central capital city to have surgery undertaken. Then often they don't turn up for reasons of, it's just too difficult and the social dislocation, etc. So the ethos of IRIS has always been, let's take the service to the people. Let's bring the doctors and the nurses to the people in those communities where people live. And now we do it around a hub-and-spoke type model. So, like, for instance, Catherine, we'll go out to those communities around Catherine. We'll treat the diabetics, we'll do all the local treatments that we can do in the actual community itself, and then we bring them back into Catherine to have their cataract surgery undertaken. And probably cataract surgery is the biggest need or demand that needs to be met in terms of restoring vision to these people. So in the 10 years of IRIS, we've been very proud of what it has been able to achieve in delivering those services on the ground and making a difference to people's day-to-day living. Because if people can't see, then if you can't see, it's both a physical and also a mental issue. Physical in terms of you may have extra falls, you lose your independence, you become dependent on other people, lose all your confidence. And also, because if you're particularly older and you can't see, it tends to affect your mental function. So often you become withdrawn, and people think you're demented when in fact you just can't see. So once you restore the vision, people actually pick up, and obviously with that goes depression.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are 6 times more likely to go blind and 12 times more likely to have cataracts than non-Indigenous people. Bill, why are these numbers so high?
Because the services have not been there to ensure we can get those figures down. We talk about closing the gap. I mean, that's one figure that we need to close, because if there's nothing to justify that someone lives in rural and remote Australia should have less access to eye services than someone living in the city. And so it's due to the fact they have not been able to access those services over the time. Those services have not been available or haven't been available in sufficient numbers. And can I say that there are a couple of surgeons who live in remote areas like Alice Springs who provide local services, and I commend people like Dr. Tim Henderson and Dr. Angus Turner up in the northern part of West Australia, who live in those areas and deliver those services. But the demand is such that they need support from organisations like IRIS in terms of both funding, but also in terms of other ophthalmologists and scrub sisters, scrub team who can go out and help them provide those services. So it's about improving access for those patients, and then we can bring those numbers down.
IRIS is scheduled to perform its 500th surgery this November. How proud are you of this massive achievement?
Look, extremely proud of the difference that IRIS makes to people's day-to-day lives. When you restore the sight of someone who's been blind, and I ask people, put your hands over your eyes or close your eyes. If you said, look, that's all I can see, and that's all I can see for the rest of my life, you can imagine what impact that has on you as a person. If you can restore that vision and suddenly you open your eyes up to day one after cataract surgery and you can see so well, it makes such a difference to that person and to the people around them, because they are now independent. They're not depending on other people to care for them, look after them, and they become fruitful contributors back to the community in general. So I'm extremely proud of what Iris has achieved and what we wanted to achieve moving forward. And so we think we can continue to make a big difference in rural and remote Australia, particularly amongst our Indigenous population, and certainly we're proud to continue in ensuring that most of the money that we get doesn't go into committees or a whole lot of, non-contact services. This money goes directly into delivering services on the ground. And so working with the local primary healthcare teams, the doctors, nurses and Aboriginal health workers on the ground so that we can make a difference to people's lives.
You just talked there about Aboriginal health workers on the ground and working with them. Where are some of the communities Iris Mob travel to treat Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients for their eye health?
Listen, the Iris Mob don't have borders, and that's the important message. We don't contemplate any of these state borders that are lying in the sand. Mm. We look around the whole of Australia, and where the needs are, that's where we go. And therefore, across both northern and southern part of Northern Territory, sort of around Alice Springs, but around places like Katherine, right up into Gove, across to the northern part of West Australia. So all those communities across West Australia, from, you know, Broome, I suppose, is the hub, but all those Aboriginal communities to the west and to the north, that is where we go, as well as Western Queensland, Birds of Badooey, Booria, western parts of New South Wales. So wherever the need is, Iris goes, and Iris is there to make a difference to those people who need cataract surgery and other surgeries as well.
Let's talk about the future of Iris, which is administered by Vanguard Health via a grant from the federal government. And I do know Vanguard Health CEO Tim Gallagher has come out and said, and I quote, "Our services are only limited by the funding that we have available. We could do so much more," quote unquote. What is your response to this statement?
Look, I absolutely support it to 100% because what Mr. Gallagher is saying there is absolutely correct. We have no shortage of people wanting to go and help in terms of surgeons, nurses, Aboriginal health workers or whatever the needs are. People, medical doctors in terms of those who patients got diabetics need laser, people who need surgery for their eyelids that turn in terms of trachoma. So we've got no shortage of people wanting to go and help. The only thing that restricts us is the fact that we don't have the funding to transport them out, you know, accommodate them, et cetera, et cetera. And so money is our only limit. And so if we can get further funding to keep Iris going, we can continue to sort of, I suppose, broaden the areas that we're currently beyond what we're currently servicing, and hopefully again in those areas provide services that currently aren't being provided, or if so, they're inadequate. And so really to boost the services that are needed.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.